gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the Inner West and the only station that you can't refuse listening to. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. Good evening, Lee. How are you tonight?
Good. I'm not coughing. I'm not sneezing. I'm not bashful. I'm not sleepy. I'm a little bit sleepy.
And you're very grumpy.
I'm not that grumpy. You're more grumpy than I am. I'm more Doc than anything else tonight.
Okay.
I'm one of the seven dwarfs. That's what I am. How are you tonight?
I am not too bad. My cold is slowly going away.
You haven't got... You didn't catch one of those internet viruses, did you?
No, I didn't catch one of the internet viruses yet.
Okay, well, that's good, because tonight we're talking about something we should have spoken about last week, which we missed, which was Cybercrime Week, and how you can ward off potential viruses and people who are out there, believe it or not, Dad, to steal your identity. I mean, I personally don't know...
Why would they want to do that?
Why would they want to steal your identity? Of all the people in the world, they
could steal... Who would want to be the Gadget Gorilla?
I know, completely. Like, you're big, hairy, and scary. Who wants to be that?
Not I.
Yeah, well, but you are, so
well,
too
yeah,
bad.
I'm
you
know, stuck
you're,
with
you're kind of stuck with it. So that's what I know is on the show. Do you know what else is on the show tonight?
I haven't got a clue.
Well, we're also going to be talking about the flip. You know what that is?
The flip.
That's what I'm doing to you right now. Yeah, that's right. The flip. Extend your middle finger outwards. That's flipping the bird. No, tonight we're going to talk about the flip, which is this new fandangled video camera that everyone can use.
That is very inexpensive, that plugs straight into your laptop or your desktop computer.
It's Mac and PC friendly.
And it is actually quite a usable little camera.
We'll talk about that later. And we've also got a whole bunch of news. I found some really useless gadgets this week.
Oh, good. I'm
wagging my tail in preparation for one of them.
I can see.
Can you see me wag my tail? You see that? That's not me flipping the bird.
I thought that was the noodles left over from dinner.
No. That's the toilet paper left over from dinner.
Sorry.
Yeah. But first, we'll get into a song. Is your computer set up already? There are going to be no mistakes tonight?
Oh.
Mistakeless show? The less we talk, the better it sounds?
That's exactly right.
We'll get into it. This is Nelly Furtado with Try.
Everything is not as it's old.
Check this out.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the slightly less inner west than the inner west you currently occupy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did they move it?
They moved it. Yeah, there's a giant...
They moved it to the east or to the west?
I don't know.
Or the north or the south?
Look, all I can tell you is that as I walked up, because I know I walked to the station today, there was a giant Vogon constructor fleet and a bulldozer with some guy lying in front of it telling me that the entire inner west district that Radio 2RDJ operated in was about to be moved. I'm lying.
Was there a planning... thing for this?
No, I think it's
down in the basement.
I think you have to go to Alpha Beta Triple Z or something like that. Anyway, you can listen to this about to be moved Radio 2RDJ at 88.1 or at its website at www.radio2rdj.com, or perhaps you just like to wait till the world ends and the Vogons remove this planet for something else. You can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, where it won't work because the website will be blown up with the rest of the earth, and check out the podcast then or later or now or I'm confused. Do you want to start the news?
Okay. You
can start the news.
Yeah.
I mean, my story can wait till you're already over there.
This one sounds rather interesting to me when I saw this one. Apparently, a market research firm is forecasting that Linux-based smartphones will account for 60% of the smartphone market in 7 years, with Android becoming the dominant mobile operating system at a 25% market
share. I'm a little
share.
Curious about that, because at the moment there aren't many Linux operating systems in mobile phones. In fact, at the moment there's
Android. Well, they're correct,
Android.
In saying, they're correct in saying that Android is certainly going to become the dominant
but Android
Linux one.
Android makes Linux friendly. It makes Linux even more friendly than Mandrake and all the other NGOs.
Yeah, but let's see. What have we got? We've got Symbian, we've got Android, we've got Apple.
And we got Windows.
And you got Windows.
Do you like Windows Mobile? We're talking about that next week, aren't we?
We
maybe.
Are, we're
either
be
talking
doing
about that or Windows 7. It's one
we've
of
got,
those.
We've got some interesting stuff happening.
We do.
But Windows Mobile currently is dropping, and that's down to about 10% of the market.
And there's also the Java-based ones that Sony Ericsson use, and that who are the ones who made the 3 phone? The
Ink,
yeah, they use the Java-based one as well,
yeah.
I think.
And
there are some proprietaries.
But what's happening is a lot of the manufacturers are moving to the
Linux-based
one. And
is even Flash, there are Flash-based ones. Samsung and LG both do Flash-based ones.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are moving to Android, of course. A lot of the manufacturers, HTC, Samsung, etc.
They're all jumping between them, yep.
Yep. But a lot of them also have Windows Mobile phones as well.
It'll
they're
be interesting
producing
to see
two
what
or
happens.
Three different units in parallel.
I haven't tested the new Windows Mobile phones. I haven't heard great things about them, but I also haven't tried 6.5, and I would like to.
I was looking at 6.5 from a developer point of view just today.
Is it looked interesting?
Oh, God.
Really?
Oh.
That's positive, isn't it? That's you in a positive mood. I got something interesting. It's not that you don't have to press play on that. It's cool. Have you heard about these new 2010 Winter Olympics medals, the gold,
where
and
they're
bronze.
Going to be putting in
circuit boards,
used gold from circuit board. No, I
haven't
heard about
that. Yeah, they're putting in. Thanks for ruining that for me. They're putting in circuit. You can tell the story now.
I don't know the story.
Well, okay, fine.
You asked me if I've heard about it, and I said no, I haven't.
And then you ruined the story for me. You know, they're putting in recycled circuit boards, or partially recycled circuit boards, inside these really strangely designed gold medals, which I got to give credit to. At least they don't look like regular gold medals. They sort of look like they've been banged out of a factory by a drunk Italian worker. But they look really cool. I'd like one for doing nothing, which is. I'm not going to make a statement about the Olympics on that, but
of course it's the 2010
Winter Olympics. Yeah, no, they look really cool. I really dig them, and they have got circuit boards on the inside, so that's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about if you don't have proper antivirus systems installed in your computers, in your corporate computers?
Okay.
You're going to get fined.
Really?
In a recent
fined.
In a recent.
Wait, by people.
By the government.
This government?
No.
Oh.
In a recent Securities and Exchange Commission hearing, this is in the US.
Oh, of course.
Commonwealth Equity Services, LLP, of Waltham in Massachusetts, was fined for not having antivirus software installed on its representatives' PCs.
How do you get fined for not having antivirus? It seems stupid, but why would you get fined for it?
Because in November 2008, an intruder obtained the login credentials of one of Commonwealth's representatives and used those credentials to access the trading system. The intruder instigated purchase trades on 8 accounts and obtained details of 368 customers.
Yeah, but how is that illegal? It doesn't say how it's legal.
Well, first of all, that's illegal.
Okay, yeah, that part is illegal. That part I get.
Yeah. The dealing staff noticed the odd trades, quickly blocked the account from further activity.
Okay.
It cost them $8,000. There was an $8,000 loss on the transactions. 368 customers had to be notified that their accounts had been compromised.
Okay.
And then the Securities and Exchange Commission revealed that there was a sequence of events where Commonwealth's IT help desk received a call from the person whose computer was compromised in September. Now, remember, this happened
in
November.
You're losing me.
Yeah. Apparently, their support desk received a call 2 months earlier where there was a suspected virus compromise.
Sorry, I had to wake myself up there.
Yeah. The help desk operator couldn't verify whether there was any antivirus software installed, recommended that it be obtained and installed, but there was no follow-up on that.
Okay.
So,
and the moral of the story was?
That the corporation was basically held to be negligent in not ensuring that their computer systems were safe.
Fair enough. On a completely unrelated subject, guess what?
What?
Atlantis has been found.
You're kidding.
No, well, they're saying it's Atlantis. They're saying it could be Atlantis. Okay. They're not saying it's Atlantis. They're saying it's a city that might have inspired Atlantis.
Okay.
Because off the coast of southern Greece, someone has found, or a team of people, have found the remains of a city that looks like it dates from 2800 to 1200 BC. Sure, this isn't technology, but science is an aspect of technology, and looking for the great city of Atlantis is certainly something that has inspired science fiction writing for practically ever. What the hell is that? What the hell's that?
Have a listen.
It sounds like a drunk sailor singing. What the hell is that? I can't. What is that?
Listen.
You and I are obviously from different things. Look, I'll continue going on this.
Keep talking.
Apparently, it's about 30,000 square meters of an ocean floor that looks like it was consumed or taken over by the sea at around 1000 BC. And it includes buildings that look like they predate the writings of Plato in the creation of Atlantis. Seriously, what the hell is this?
That's a song called Atlantis.
What's it about?
It's about Atlantis, down below the ocean. Listen.
I don't want to listen. I want to tell the news. I'm a news person right now. This is... Who seriously listens to this crap?
This is from the 60s.
Like I said, who seriously listens to this crap? You know what? We have music predating the 60s tonight. That should shut you up well and truly.
True.
What else have you got there, sir?
What else have I got? I've got...
Atlantis. Go screw my Atlantis story over with your music.
Okay, while we're talking about Windows, which we weren't...
Were we?
We were earlier.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I know how much you love Family Guy.
Completely love Family Guy.
You're about to be turned off Family Guy.
No, I'm not.
November the 8th.
Yes, that's a week before my birthday.
Yes. A variety show produced by the creator of the animated
sitcom. Seth MacFarlane, yes.
Yes. Will be shown without commercials.
Oh, cool.
But will feature Windows 7-oriented content within the program.
Okay, I'm a bit worried now.
Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane...
this is seriously a story I didn't know about.
Will be expanded and used to promote Windows 7.
I honestly am a bit worried about that, because the last time Seth MacFarlane played a joke on Microsoft, it was the following. I'd like to look at an iPod. No, what you really want is a Zune. Oh, no, I'm kidding. You don't really want that. You want an iPod.
The show will have no commercial interruptions because the whole thing is sponsored by Microsoft.
Wow, that's strange. And it's sort of sad.
It is, isn't it? Like I said, you're used to, like...
I did. One of the creators of Twitter, in fact, pretty much the guy who created Twitter, is a guy named Jack Dorsey. Now, no one actually knows about this. So all the people on Twitter, tweet that now. One of these days we'll actually talk about Twitter. He's actually come up with a new invention called the Square iPhone payment system. And it's basically a device...
How do you pay for your Square iPhone?
No, because your iPhone's actually sort of like a... It's not a squircle, but it's a rectangular circle. A squircle is a softer square. Anyway, he's come up with a new device that actually it's basically a mini credit card reader. And so when you're on the go, you can take credit card payments using your iPhone.
Oh.
And that's his new device. And it's... it's a new device he's working on and it's going to come out. And it's in testing at the moment. It's kind of cool. So can you imagine all those people who normally use the portable credit card devices or, the FPOS machines could use something like this.
Wonderful.
I mean, fantastic. The only downside is you have to wait for the freaking App Store to come out with all the freaking updates to make sure you're secure.
Okay. Now, you're familiar with copyright and how you've got to pay money to the copyright holders, the producers of the
Which reminds me, I need to send that check now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know how that's reasonable and all that. I think it's very reasonable that the people who are involved in the creation of the content get paid.
Absolutely. We're expecting our check right now, aren't we?
American Society of Composers, Authors and Publishers. That's ASCAP.
That's ASCAP, yeah.
Yep. They wanted to get a performance fee every time a ringtone on a phone was played. Which is exactly what the court said.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
They wanted to charge cell phone carriers.
That's actually worse than the labels asking for a 30-second sample payment.
I know.
That's seriously worse.
That is, that is just taking the copyright laws way, way, way too far. ASCAP, go to hell.
How much would Beethoven get for all the times his ringtones have been used?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. How much time do we have there, sir?
You got about another that long.
All right, well, Dell are expecting to launch something this week, actually. It's a new
laptop. Satellite? A rocket?
No, they're not launching anything quite that dramatic. It's expected to be a new laptop, believe it or not. It's going to be 0.39 inches. Less than half an inch closed. Apparently, it'll be the slimmest laptop ever created. And it's expected that it will include, get this, I'm reading this for the quote, a heat-sensitive strip that when swiped with your finger, it glows white and it automatically opens the aluminium lid.
Ooh.
I've got a question.
They've got that technology on pickup trucks in America.
I thought that was just dust.
Oh, sorry.
But I thought, what happens if you accidentally if you pick up your laptop using that strip and it tries to open in your hand?
What happens if you're trying to get off your train and you accidentally do it and it opens just as you're trying to get off your train?
Could
be rather dangerous.
It doesn't sound that great, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It sounds like it's a good idea in theory. Also, I don't have anything about this, but apparently the first electromagnetic black hole has been built on Earth in China.
I thought that was in Canberra.
Yeah, that's about all I have on that story. Perfect.
Okay.
We've got an anniversary this week, don't we?
It's a birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Dad. I'm glad you're 80 years old. Very good.
83 years young.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chuck Berry.
Is he? Yeah. He better be good, this guy.
He is good.
Johnny be good.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. Or is it? Is it the Gadget Grill on 88.1? Is it 88.1?
It is the grilling gadget.
You know what? It was recently Identity Theft, National Identity Theft, National Identity Fraud Awareness Week. That's a mouthful.
I'll believe you.
It was. And we missed it because we were busy reporting on other stuff, like the Amazon thing that we were the first radio show, well, one of the first news publications, one of the first, whatever you call us, on the
world. We were the first media in Australia to break the
story. Yep, we were. We even knew about it ahead of time. But anyway, it was National Identity Fraud Awareness Week, but despite it was, you still have to be aware of it. You can't just go blind not realizing that people are out there to steal your identity. You know, apparently your credit card is worth money. Not much, worth about $10 roughly. Worth about $10.
That is about the amount of credit that I have left on it, yes.
Thanks for telling everyone. That was good. Yes. So it was National Identity Fraud Awareness Week. So I headed out to Symantec, who had someone down from America. Her name was Janice Chaffin. I think that's her name. And she spoke to me about it. So do you want to play that?
I will play that.
Now.
Right now.
I'm Janice Chaffin, and I'm the group president for Symantec's Consumer Business Unit.
So you're here also as part of Cybercrime Week. Tell me about that.
Definitely. So it's National Identity Fraud Awareness Week. And for us, especially with our 2010 products, what we found is some people have gotten relatively complacent. But what we do know is that cybercrime is on the rise. So as part of our launch, we're trying to really up the educational efforts of the general consumer on cybercrime, and particularly because 90% of the threats these days are really aimed at identity theft. And in Australia, it's over $1 billion of losses that can be related to...
What do you mean by identity theft? Are people really out there to steal who I am?
Yeah, they're out to steal your credit card information, your personal ID numbers, your bank account numbers. I mean, anything that you can imagine would give them an entree into any of your online accounts so that they could steal money. And cybercrime is a big organized crime ring. It's really, we estimate, bigger than basically drug trafficking these days. So it's huge.
I guess it's a lot easier to do than drug trafficking because it's online. You don't have to get up from your seat. You can commit a crime from anywhere in the room. You can commit a crime from the toilet.
Well, and it's very clear that these types of criminals are well-educated. They are very organized into these crime rings. They're often recruited on very standard and ways like Monster.com and other recruiting sites. They really are making a choice, because they're often from struggling economies, between a legitimate job where they could maybe earn $10,000 a year and a life as a cyber criminal at $700,000 a year.
Wow.
And you're right. It's much easier to commit these crimes. There's no knives or guns involved. And frankly, a lot of law enforcement is not really capable of catching them.
Should the law enforcement be more involved, or is it really down to the consumer to be aware?
You know, it's a combination. So what we believe is we're working with governments and law enforcement. One, you have to have the right laws in place so that cyber criminal activity is against the law. You've got to help governments with that.
Is it against the law?
In most places, they've now upped their legislation so that there's specific rules about cyber criminal activity. But there's still more to do on that. So we're working hard around the world to educate governments and work with legislators, and also work with law enforcement agencies to help them. But an important piece of this is to educate the consumer so they're less of a target.
So I should ask, how do you go about educating the consumer? Because I can tell you, as a DJ or as a radio personality who tries to do the exact same thing, it's not easy. So give me your tactics, because I'm really looking here.
So we try to have them have three simple things. One is to make sure that their operating system and their browser have the latest patches. And that means that they should pay attention to those things and do what they need to do. Next, you should have a internet security product that's going to give you multiple layers of protection. So Norton Internet Security, Norton 360, really good protection for you. Lastly, it's about having good internet habits. A few of those things are, don't use the same password everywhere. Once a hacker hacks your password, say on your email account, which has happened recently, they try it everywhere. They try it everywhere. Don't visit unsafe sites. So use safe search type of capabilities such as we have in our product.
What is a safe search capability?
What a safe search capability allows you to do is, when you go to an internet site, it'll tell you, is this site known to have malicious code? If it does, it's a big red check. Or is it safe? Like, you should be safe to shop there and do those kinds of things. And make sure then that you're not sharing your personal information over the internet with people or sites that don't have a need to know. Really use some of those basic best practices that you have in your physical life on your internet interactions. And therefore, your chances of really being safe are increased.
Is it harder to get that sort of information across? Because obviously going from the real world to the online world it's not as big as a jump as most people think it is, but the same habits surely aren't the same.
They're very similar, though. You know, educating my kids is kind of a good example of where you would do the same thing. So when I talk to my children, I say, you know, on the internet, when you're on your social networking site and you're going to friend somebody, think about the rules we have in the house. You know, you're not just going to go up to somebody on the street and say, hey, could you be my friend, right? So if somebody comes to you on a social networking site and says, I want to be your friend, you've never met them for real, you don't really know them, you don't even know if they're really a friend of a friend or perhaps some predator, don't friend them. That would just be, you know, activity that in the real world you would never friend somebody that you didn't know, somebody that you didn't meet in person. So those kinds of things are fairly easy to translate into the online world. Things like not sharing your passwords, you know, that's pretty simple and pretty easy thing to do.
I have to ask, because recently Hotmail, Google, very recently they were hacked.
Right.
Is that just a sign, a wake-up call to most people that they really need to be more protective about the things they pass for email, passwords included?
I would hope so. It's terrible to be hacked for anybody. What I think is the biggest danger is that people aren't all protected. And we do surveys and we find that people either don't have any form of protection or they're using a very limited form of protection,
because
some of these free products, which are only a small part of what you need to do to be protected. You really need an internet security suite to have those layers of protection. In our latest products, we even have reputation-based protection, which isn't reputation of people. It's really allowed us to do reputation of files.
How does that work? Yeah. How do you say, well, this website has a reputation. How do we go about fixing it?
Yeah, it happens in the background. What we have is a Norton Community Watch, which is over 30 million people around the world who have agreed to give us a fingerprint of the files that are on their system. And with over 30 million people, we can very easily see what are the bad files and what are the good files, and use that so that the community is well-informed. So you get a background rating of these files. So let's say you are downloading one of the files, and we come up and say, oops, here, let me tell you a little bit about this file. Only 5 people in the whole world have this file. It's not a good sign. It's probably a malicious code, or at least we can inform you to say, you know, wait a little bit longer and see, perhaps it's a new version of a product. You know, wait a few hours. If it's suddenly adopted by millions of people, it's probably safe. And so it gives you the ability to make a smarter decision about what you download.
And that's a pretty interesting sort of thing that they're doing,
Liz. Yeah, it's sort of like Neighborhood Watch for your files. It's kind of a good idea. And as always, some of the things she said in there are, you know, pretty much important. Things like use common sense for when people kind of approach you on the internet. Like,
you're not gonna give everyone a, you know, sort of your bank account details if they walk up to you and ask you for it in the street. So why would you do it when somebody asks you for that in the bloody email?
It is something that a lot of people aren't aware of. That, you know, the web seems so innocuous. Like, oh, it can't hurt giving someone that accidentally. They'd never use that, surely.
Wrong.
But it is something people are, for some reason, aren't aware of. They never take the same precautions they do in the online world as they would in the real world. It's strange. So just anyone who's listening to this, do the same thing as you would in real life. The web is no different. It's digital, but it's no different. They're the same amount of creeps.
The web is just as cheesy as real life.
Exactly, and there's even more creeps online than there are in your regular day life.
Oh, well, the thing
unless
is,
you're listening to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shall we get into some music, sir?
Well, we shall.
That was big thanks to Janice and the crew at Semantic for that one anyway.
Excellent.
That was nice for them to talk to us. This is an Australian band, I think it is. Is this an Australian
band?
They
are an Australian
band.
They're
an Australian band.
They're actually very good musicians. They know what they're doing.
This is Monsieur Camembert with Kiss of Fire.
I touch your lips and all at once the sparks go flying. Those devil lips that know so well the art of lying. And though I see the danger...
88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, because we made sure to catch those fraudsters who tried to nick off with the Gadget Grill name. Bastards. Right now we're going to get...
They actually stole my identity. There's now
it's okay,
three,
your identity is not worth
Gadget
much.
Gorillas running around town.
Are any of them named Gary Stark?
No.
Thank God there's only one of you. Oh, that would be so traumatic.
No, and I'm certainly not running anywhere.
Right now we're going to get into a review. This is...
You have flipped.
I do have flipped, and I'm going to explain what the flip is, because most people haven't explained it. If you hear the name flip, and you will in a couple of weeks...
Nothing to do with Flip Wilson.
It's not, and it's nothing to do with flipping off your family members who piss you off. A lot of people have been passing the name Flip around. It's going to be more apparent in the next couple of weeks when it actually launches. The Flip is a very, very portable, hand-sized, almost iPod-sized video recording device. It does one thing. It records videos. Let me change that again. It does two things. It records the videos and then plays them back. It's a pretty simple operation.
It is actually about the same size as a small mobile phone.
It's a bit like an iPod Nano, except thicker. And inside of it, the one I've got is the Flip Mino HD, which records in not full HD, but 720p, which is still pretty cool. And instead of requiring some sort of tape mechanism, you know, to record on, it has a, and if you heard that was me flipping out the USB key that's built inside of it.
Which is why it's called a flip.
Exactly, and out pops this little USB, which allows you to transfer using software, or just dragging and dropping if you like on Windows Explorer or Apple's Finder. It allows you to move across these files, which are in H.264 MP4s, and just... You have an hour worth of recording with 4 gig inside of this. You can't upgrade it, I guess that's a downside, but it's... Its main use is that it's really easy to use. It has a power button on the side and a giant, well, pretty giant compared to the rest of the actual unit, a giant red button on the back that records. And then everything else is touch sensitive. You can zoom in, you can zoom out, and it's all
digital. So it's got
zoom.
A big red switch.
It's got a big red switch on the back.
Right.
And it's got a screen on the back so you can watch it and you can play it back.
Blue screen of death?
No, and it comes with a case. It even comes with a TV out sort of cable, and it's tripod mountable. And I'm just going to do a test here. This thing does one thing. It does one thing only, basically. It records video and then plays that back.
Okay.
I have a digital camera here right now, one we're going to review in a week or two, the Samsung ST550.
Very nice little camera.
Which is a cool little camera with touchscreen and with screen on the front. Now, this little point-and-shoot records video as well.
Yes.
I'm just going to compare how long it takes me to set up each of these for recording video. I've turned them both on at the same time, and I'm recording video now on the flip, and I'm...
Gee, that's going to be a great video that you're recording on the flip. The camera's pointing at the ceiling.
And now I'm recording there. Okay, so that took, I guess, about 30 seconds longer to record on this?
No, it didn't take a lot. Didn't take that. It would have been about 10 seconds longer, but you were certainly able to start recording on the flip within a couple of seconds.
It was, yeah. And it's very easy to use. You turn it on, you turn it off, you record, you play back. It couldn't be any easier. It's pocketable and it's quite resistant. I still wouldn't, you know, throw it around.
No, not the sort of thing not the sort of thing you throw around, but certainly very, very pocketable, very, very portable, and very, very usable.
Yeah.
I've noticed a few journos are using them in journo media events.
In journo hell. I secretly think that we're all, actually, I don't secretly think, I publicly think that. Two things. One, we're all not going to want to give this back, and two, and every journalist is going to hate me for saying this, this is really going to bring back amateur porn. Should I have said that out loud?
Probably not. That's probably not the sort of thing you want to say on community radio.
No, probably not. But no, it's a great device. It stands up easily, and it's great for kids. It's an excellent device for kids. Not with that last statement I made. Anyway, so it's...
That's a great device for kids who you want to get introduced to porn.
Thank you, Dad. You're helping me out here. Anyway, that's the Flip Amino HD, which is about $300. It's not bad for what it is.
That's very good value.
Yeah, anyway, and this is Memory Tapes with Green Knight, who are a new indie electronica band, who I like the sound of, and Dad's gonna be forced to endure right now.
Okay.
Radio 2 RDJ. This is what's left of the Gadget Grill. We're suddenly scraping off the edges and about ready to put them in some sort of batter mix so that the next person who comes in, I think that's Colin Richardson, with his classical show, he'll have to consume the remains of the dead.
Or at least the remains of the day.
The remains of the day, yeah. He could be consuming Anthony Hopkins as we speak.
Indeed.
Could be. In any case...
Anyone for fresh brains?
With a nice Chianti.
That would be very nice.
And some fava beans, of course. And right now we're going to get into our useless gadget. Can you believe it or not? Do you want a tail?
Do I want a tail?
I could tell you a tail, but that's not the tail I'm talking about right now.
You could tell me a tail.
I'm not going to tell you a tail. Instead, I'm going to tell you that some guy, a do-it-yourselfer named Wee Chai Tseng, has created...
Who?
Look, Wee Chai... I don't know, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Anyway, he's created a tale for himself.
Ah, a tale of two...
Not a tale of two cities.
A sail of two...
Not even a traveler's tale. Okay. He has created a waggable tale for his body. It's electronic.
Waggable tale.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you wear it, and basically it pops out your bum. Well, it doesn't pop out your bum, it pops out...
It sits adjacent to your backside.
It's perpendicular to your backside. Or parallel, I'm not sure how it looks on him. And it uses either an RFID reader or a Wii nunchuck. The RFID reader gives you automatic emotions that lets you wag it and, you know, put it in happy phrases and all sorts of things like that. And then there's the Wii nunchuck, which, you know, the Wii nunchuck, the thing that pops off the side of a Wiimote, lets you control it. So you can imagine you would just be walking along the side of the road, find a nice pretty girl that makes you happy like a dog, you know, wag your tail. Well, you can do that with a Wiimote now, or he can. I really want one of these. I would completely walk around town using this and offending people.
And you would get arrested.
Probably. It's only illegal to play with this. And look, we're not going to go there, okay?
Okay.
We won't go there. Instead, you can end the radio show before I completely humiliate myself more than I normally do.
Okay. You have been listening to, or have just missed, on to RDJFM 88.1, The Gadget Grill.
And if you're wagging your tail, wag it now really fast.
The Gadget Grill can be heard every Sunday night on 2RDJFM 88.1.
Or at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
Or on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Yeah, that's good too.
The Gadget Grill is exclusive to to RDJ FM 88.1.
Is it really now?
Every Sunday at 9 p.m. It is brought to you by Lee Stark.
Yeah, that's...
And myself, the Gadget
Can we go for a walk now? Can we go for a walk?
After the Macquarie National News at 10, we will be Lizzie will be listening to the dulcet tones of Mr. Cole Richardson, and we'll be back in the Gadget Grill next Sunday night. I am the Gadget Gorilla.
And apparently I'm the Gadget Puppy Dog. My name is Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
See you next week, Australia. We didn't tell you who this was. This is Roland Kirk of Jack McDuff with Skaters Waltz. Have a good week, Australia.